May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 612. 612. In every believer two armies are seen, the new man of grace and the old man of sin. In Christ he is perfect and free from all guilt, yet in himself evils are both seen and felt. Hymn 612.
Thank you. May it please Almighty God to bless the reading of his holy words to the profit of our souls this evening. Let us turn to the prophecy of Isaiah and read chapter 9. The prophecy of Isaiah and reading chapter 9. Chapter 9. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, in Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light, and they that dwell in the shadow dwell in the land of the shadow of death. Upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood. But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with darkness from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The Lord sent a word into Jacob, and it hath lighted upon Israel, and all the people shall know, even Ephraim and the inhabitants of Samaria, that say, in the pride and stoutness of heart, the bricks are fallen down, but we will build with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars. Therefore, the Lord shall set up the adversaries of Rezin against him and join his enemies together, the Syrians before and the Philistines behind, and they shall devour Israel with open mouth. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. For the people turneth not unto him that smiteth them, neither do they seek the Lord of hosts. Therefore, the Lord will cut off from Israel head and tail, branch and rush, in one day, the ancient and the honourable. He is the head, and the prophet that teacheth lies, he is the tail. For the leaders of this people cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed. Therefore, the Lord shall have no joy in their young men, neither shall have mercy on their fatherless and widows, for every one is an hypocrite and an evildoer, and every mouth speaketh folly. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. For wickedness burneth as the fire. It shall devour the briars and thorns, and shall kindle in the thickets of the forest. And they shall mount up like the lifting up of smoke. Through the wrath of the Lord of hosts is the land darkened. And the people shall be as the fuel of the fire. No man shall spare his brother. And he shall snatch on the right hand and be hungry. And he shall eat on the left hand, and they shall not be satisfied. And they shall eat every man the flesh of his own arm. Manasseh, Ephraim, and Ephraim, Manasseh. And they together shall be against Judah. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. Well, may God graciously instruct us from his holy word and help us now to call upon his name in prayer. Let us all pray. Most blessed, gracious, merciful, eternal, and most holy Lord God, the one who we believe dwells on high, the one who created all things, the mighty God. Lord, we come before thee tonight. We pray for thy blessing to be known and felt amongst us. We pray that we'll come and speak to our souls. Leave not our souls destitute, gracious God. And thou alone, knowest what each one of us needs. And therefore, Lord, we come tonight, casting all our care upon thee, believing thou dost care for us. And so, Lord, we pray as we come together to worship tonight, that we may be blessed with that right spirit, and that humble spirit, that seeking spirit, and that will graciously meet our need. Lord, we come realizing that only the Almighty God knows that which each one of us needs. Lord, sometimes we think we know what we need. But gracious God, we realize that it is only Almighty God who knows what we need in our spiritual life and what will do us real good. And so, Lord, we come tonight looking to thee, pleading thou would not turn us away, but thou would be gracious to us. Lord, we cannot demand any blessing. We do not deserve any blessing. But we do come venturing on that name, through that name, which is above every name, the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, then come, we pray tonight. Come where we are and bless our eternal souls. Lord, all of us here tonight are fast hastening through this little life, whether we be young or whether we be old. Lord, help us all to realize the time is short for each one of us. And Lord, help us to understand in some measure that eternity stands before us. And we pray, gracious God, that thou wilt come and bless our never-dying souls. And Lord, give us that blessed evidence that thou, the Almighty God, has gloriously died in our place, in our stead, when thou didst suffer on Calvary's cross and endure all incarnate God could bear with strength enough and none to spare. We would come tonight and desire truly to praise and to glorify thy great and holy name. And so, Lord, look down upon us and hear the many prayers which we trust have gone up to thee for this evening, that thou wilt remember us with that favour thou bearest unto thy people, and visit our souls with thy salvation. We pray, Lord, that those who may be in darkness may be brought into the glorious light of the gospel. O Lord, how conscious we are, the work is thine. And we would come and say, Lord, let thy work appear. O Lord, we'd love to see thy work appearing. And we pray even tonight, through thy love and mercy and grace, once again, Lord, it may be so, thy work may appear, that saving work, that encouraging work, that correcting work. Lord, whatever it is we need in our lives, we pray we may have the evidence that Almighty God is graciously dealing with us as sons and daughters of the Most High God. So, Lord, we commit our way to thee tonight. We come, Lord, thankful for the privilege of being able to gather together and, Lord, to accept our thanks for this blessing. Accept our thanks, Lord, that in our nation we are still able to meet together freely. And, Lord, may we recognise the privilege this is and the favour that it is. Oh Lord, so often we have not been thankful for such blessings. We pray, gracious God, even tonight, our hearts may realise it is a wonderful favour and a wonderful privilege to be able to gather together to come and worship the Almighty God. And Lord, may we know in our own hearts, by the effect thy Spirit has upon us, that thou art indeed in the midst. Lord, thou hast promised, and we're thankful it is so, that where two or three meet together in my name, there am I in the midst. Lord, we're thankful there are more than two or three here tonight. And we may have the wonderful evidence that Jesus is in the midst. Lord, give us that faith then to believe that everything will therefore be gloriously influenced by thy Holy Spirit. Every part of this service may be for the honour and glory of our God and for the salvation of our souls. Lord, we pray for each one, young and old, that thou would be gracious to us this evening. We pray, Lord, for all those who are not able to gather with us tonight, those who are at home, not well enough to come, those who are at home with their children and the children, others who are away, Lord, wherever and whatever the situation may be, we pray for thy rich blessing upon them. And then, Lord, we think of this village of Swavesey, Lord. We're thankful there has been a church here for many years. And Lord, we long for the gracious and glorious outpouring of thy Holy Spirit, that it may be found moving in the hearts of many in this village and the surrounding area. Oh Lord, we're thankful there is a large building which thou hast provided. And we pray, Lord, that many may be directed to come here and to worship the ever-living and true God, those who have a spiritual need, who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Be with those, Lord, who come and preach the everlasting gospel. We pray the word may be in power and in much assurance, and in the Holy Ghost. It may be, thus saith the Lord. Lord, that the people may be strengthened in their most holy faith and encouraged to press on. But Lord, we know there are many enemies, and the great enemy of our soul, the devil, who tries to turn us out of the way. Oh, we pray, Lord, he may be kept at arm's length, and Lord, that we may go, indeed in the strength of the Lord God, making mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. And so, Lord, we commend this people to thee, and do see that they may be abundantly blessed. Lord, we live in a dark age, a dark world, but Lord, may this be a place of glorious light, a place of wonderful blessing. Oh Lord, hear the prayers to this end, for we know and believe that we have a God with whom nothing is impossible. Those, Lord, who may have stony hearts, hard hearts, Lord, thou canst give a heart of flesh. Thou canst take away the stony heart. Lord, those who may be rebellious, thou canst take away any rebellion and give them that right and humble submission to the will of Almighty God. Oh, we pray, Lord, that everyone may be concerned to grow in grace and in the knowledge of their Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Lord, visit souls with thy salvation. O Lord, may they be freed from the clutches of Satan. And Lord, we think of the wonderful word which the Lord spake, and if the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. We know there is freedom in Christ. Those who are bound, those who are chained up, those who are in the prison house, thou canst set free. For Lord, we know that nothing is too hard for our God. But yet we're also conscious thou hast declared that thou wilt be inquired of by the house of Israel to do these things for them. And so, Lord, do work if it could be thy holy and eternal will, that thou wilt greatly bless this people and this area. Oh Lord, we pray for the world scene. We pray, Lord, for the many who do not enjoy the privileges that we have. We think of those in the Ukraine who are caught up in war. Oh Lord, have mercy upon that situation and bring about peace if it could be thy holy will. Oh Lord, we stand and watch and see and wonder where the scene will end. But oh Lord, thou art in control. And we pray that through these things there yet may be much blessing. So, Lord, we come again and pray for our nation, for our government, for our King. O Lord, do remember us for good. Thou hast been very kind for many years. Thou hast not dealt with us our sins deserve. And, Lord, we passed many laws contrary to thy law. Lord, influenced by evil men. O Lord, we would rejoice if these wrong laws were revoked. And Lord, sometimes it just seems utterly impossible to us. But Lord, we know that nothing is impossible with thee, our great and glorious God. And so we pray, if it could be thy will, that we may indeed know better times. Oh, we think of that question, wilt not thou revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee. Oh, gracious God, come then and do us good. We pray, Lord, for the Sunday school which is held here. Lord, we commend the children to thee. We commend those who teach, Lord, that they may not labour in vain. And the children may receive the truths which are brought to them. And they may be of lasting good. And they may be able to look back in later life to their times in the Sunday school where they received instruction and blessing from Almighty God. Oh Lord, we're thankful there is a Sunday school. We're thankful there are those who can teach, and we pray that they may be richly blessed. And we pray, Lord, especially for parents in this difficult age in which we live, that they may have a right understanding to bring up their children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Oh Lord, we know how subtle the adversary of the devil is. And Lord, brings many things which bring into question whether these things are right or wrong. And we pray, Lord, that parents may have wisdom and spiritual understanding and strength of will to do that which is right. And Lord, also to set a wonderful example to their children. And we pray earnestly, Lord, that they may be able to speak one to another and to the children of those things thou hast done for their souls, so that thy name may be honoured and glorified, and the children instructed and encouraged. Lord God Almighty, oh, we pray thou wilt work powerfully in this place. Grant, Lord, that each one here, the church and congregation, may dwell together in love and unity. And Lord, that they may be found praying for each other, for bearing each other's burdens, and deliver them from being self-centered. But Lord, help them to earnestly seek for the prosperity of the church and congregation here. So Lord, we pray this may be, as it were, a watered garden, a place where thy honour dwelleth, a place where people gather and are blessed. Lord, do hear us when we pray for these things. Thou knowest, Lord, we cannot bring them to pass, but we have a God who can. And we pray, therefore, Lord, thou would arise and do great things. And so, Lord, once again, we're found before thee on another Lord's Day evening. And we pray, Lord, thou would come and touch our hearts tonight, and bless us with true worship. Deliver us, O Lord, from all that is of the flesh, and may we bow down sense and reason and realize that the Lord only dwells here. Accept our thanks then for every blessing and mercy, and forgive our every sin. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn 828. 828. The tender mercies of the Lord on those that fear his name, for every thankful tongue afford an everlasting theme. Hymn 828.
Thank you.
May God be pleased to bless us together this evening as we meditate in his holy word. Let us turn to the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 9, and we'll read verse 2. The prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 9, and we'll read verse 2. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. You may be asking the question, why should such words be recorded in the Word of God? Why are such words necessary? Well, we should always remember that every word in the Word of God is ordained by God, and it's there for a purpose, perhaps indeed therefore many purposes. And as I told the children at Sunday school this afternoon, the Bible is a spiritual book. The Bible is written for the spiritual life of the people of God, to direct them, to encourage them, to strengthen them, to correct them, whatever it may be. The Bible has the answer to the need of every true believer. And the truth is that God's people live on this earth. This is not their home. They're going home to glory at last. And while on this earth, we can be sure that the evil one, the devil, will do all that he can to separate us from the truth of God, and will bring into our minds evil thoughts and evil hearts. We need the Spirit of God to keep us and direct us. But be assured of this, to the true believer, there will be times of darkness. I expect we're tempted to think that Christians always walk in the light. Well, the Bible tells us the days of darkness will be many. And perhaps we don't like to think of such words as that. But the reality is, the Bible tells us of them. And there are so many words and passages in the Word of God to direct us to the truth of them. Many passages perhaps are figurative. There are many times of wars and bloodshed. It all points to that which produces darkness in the soul. And so here we have a statement in this verse which speaks to us. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. So there is a walking and there is a dwelling. But there is also a wonderful deliverance. There is here a great light, and that light shines. So it is not therefore the position that God's people are always in the darkness. There are those times when the light does shine, and we should be very thankful it is so. But we should not be surprised if we do find ourselves sometimes in a dark condition. And you know, if you and I analyse that, we're tempted to say, well, why am I like this? Why has this occurred? I'll tell you why it is. It's because of our sin against a holy God. And because of that, the Lord sometimes withdraws himself. And we find ourselves then in this time of darkness. We're told the people that walked in darkness, they didn't stop. They had to carry on in our journey of life. We can't stop our life. We carry on. But it may not be quite so glorious as perhaps we thought it would be. But the Lord has his way to teach us and to instruct us. And if we never came into times of darkness, we would never appreciate the light. That's a very clear picture naturally, isn't it? You know, it's dark, isn't it, at night time? And yet when the dawn appears, it's a glorious sight, isn't it? And the sun shines. How wonderful it is. How different from darkness. And so it is in our spiritual life. When the Lord comes and shines into our hearts, what a change there is. But when that comes, surely we really appreciate the favour of it. We can then rejoice in it. But we're poor, fallible sinners. And we can so easily get enticed by the devil. I use that word because the devil is very skillful. And he wants to get us onto his ground. We can speak of it as the devil's ground. Yes, the things which do not profit, the things which harden us in the things of God. Instead of having a tender conscience, we find we have a seared conscience and a hardened, rebellious heart. And we need the blessed work of the Holy Spirit to once again come upon us and revive that work, his work, to revive it. And when the Lord is gracious, does it not bring us then joy and gladness? The Lord hasn't dealt with us as our sins deserve. Our sins deserve eternal darkness. Do you think of that? Your sin and my sin deserve eternal darkness. We deserve to be forever cast out. But what a great and glorious favour it is to know that that hasn't been the case. And in fact, through the Lord's mercy and love, he has brought us into the light. Into the light. The Lord Jesus, when he was on the earth, he spoke about himself, about being the light, and it was a wonderful statement that he gave. And in the 8th chapter of the Gospel of John, you can read, and in the 12th verse we read this: "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." It's a great statement, isn't it? And Jesus is the light of the world. And again, come back in a spiritual sense. What a mercy it is when that light shines. But we're told here, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. So why do we find ourselves in darkness? Is it because we have not followed the Lord? We wandered away. We wandered away. We've been tempted by the devil. And we've seen, as we might use the analogy in the Pilgrim's Progress, instead of keeping to the narrow way, we wandered into the broad way. We thought it was more comfortable. And perhaps we've been tempted to some worldly situation, and the devil said, well, you can go and do that, you can enjoy that, there's no harm in it. Well, as soon as the devil whispers that in your ear, you can be sure there is harm in it. And you can be sure it's not a right way. And you can be sure it'll bring you into darkness. So remember, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Spiritual life, the light of spiritual life. It's a grand and glorious truth, is it not? You know, we live in a dark world, but there is the light of life. And that means the life of God in the soul. And there is light, and it's heavenly light, and it's in Christ, and it's a light which will never be extinguished. And we can sometimes take comfort from that, that what the Lord has done for us, not what we've done, but what the Lord has done. And do remember that God will have all the honor and all the glory. Don't try and claim any glory for yourself. If God shines his light, it is his light. It's not your light, it's not my light. We won't be able to say, well, of course I did that, and therefore the light shone. It's not true. It's because what God has done has brought you into the wonderful light. And it is a wonderful light. And it shines in dark places. And it shines into the darkness of our hearts. And so, to realize this true statement, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light, and they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death can be described as deep darkness. You may have to say, well, that's where I am. Deep darkness. Upon them hath a light shined. Now God has graciously given us such wonderful words of truth so that by God's grace we may be able to resist the devil. You may remember that when the Lord Jesus was baptized, he was led up into the wilderness and tempted the devil. And he was tempted the devil, and the Lord gloriously and graciously answered him by quoting scripture. We must remember that in our little lives. And as we are perhaps tempted to do this or to do that, to just be able to come to the devil and quote scripture as to why we should not do it. Remember, he's a very wily foe. Don't try and fight him on his own ground. Fight him on the ground of scripture, because we have the glorious example of the Saviour. And you see, he won't be able to gainsay it. He won't be able to say it's wrong because you're quoting the glorious word of God. And you see, when that occurs, the light shines. The light shines. And where does the light really shine? Well, we've read that verse in John 8, verse 12. Jesus, who is the light of the world. And my friends, the light of the gospel shines into our heart through the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, he is the light of the world. He is the light shining in his people's hearts to encourage them and direct them and to show them the right way. The right way. The word of God tells us There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. And that occurs twice in the book of the Proverbs. Yes, there is a way that seemeth right. Don't go in that route. Don't go down that road if it just seems right. And if you're worried about it and you're not sure, then study the Word of God to find the right route. And don't, again, be put off when the first time you open the Bible and you can't find the answer. No, the Lord waits to be gracious. It may be that you're going to have to study the Word of God and perhaps read quite a lot of it to come to the answer. Not always easy, but God does come and God does appear. Just using my own experience in preaching the gospel. I'm thankful when the Lord comes and gives me a word to preach from. And I'm thankful He always has. He's never failed me. But sometimes I don't seem to get anything. And it seems dark. No light. What do I do? Well, of course I pray. What else do? I read the Word of God. I just read it. Perhaps from where I'm reading, I always read through the Bible and then read it through again and read it through again and continue that. So where I've got to, I carry on reading and I read and I read until the light shines upon a verse, upon a phrase. I realise that's the word of the Lord that He would have me to preach from. The light shines. Doesn't always happen immediately. We might think, oh, it's going to be easy. I'm just going to open the Bible and it's going to fall on a page and there's the verse standing out. Sometimes the Lord's very gracious and that occurs. But usually it's the opposite. We have to persevere. You have to persevere in the things of God. The Bible gives us a very suitable word. In all labour there is profit. That can be applied to a lot of things. But it can be applied also to finding the truth of God to direct you in this life. Yes, in all labour there is profit. You will find it profitable to search the scriptures. You'll never find it a waste of time. You'll always find it profitable. And don't say, well, I can't really read more than a few verses now. You can probably find time for other things. Well, they can be forgotten because they're not very relevant. But the Word of God and the light shining is important. When the Lord does then shine on a passage or on a word or on a verse, you will be encouraged. You'll thank God for it. You'll rejoice in it. The people that walked in darkness, they have seen a great light. The Lord doesn't cast us off forever. We deserve to be cast off forever. But the Lord is gracious. And the Lord is merciful. And how we should be so thankful for that. Again, there's another very suitable word or words or verses in the 107th Psalm where we read the truth of God in like manner, which is encouraging to us. And he tells us, verse 10 in the 107th Psalm, such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. That's pretty descriptive, isn't it? And do you just meditate on that? You know, if you feel you're in darkness, does this suit you? Or perhaps I should say, is it true of you? Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. Remember, shadow of death is deep darkness, being bound in affliction and iron. That means you can't free yourself. You're bound in affliction and iron. Well, I know what iron is, don't we? But we don't always know what affliction is. The Lord sometimes binds us in bodily affliction, sometimes in mental affliction. But nonetheless, it emanates from the hand of Almighty God. And the solemn reason, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned, cast aside the counsel of the Most High God. By nature, we are rebellious people. By nature, we say, I would not have this man to reign over me. I'm not going to change my ways. I'm not going to alter my thoughts. I'm going to continue. Well, the Lord is gracious, but the Lord marks these things. Sometimes we might think the Lord doesn't notice. Well, be sure of this, the Lord does notice, because the Lord knows the end from the beginning. He knows everything about you. And so we're told, because of this, therefore, he brought down their heart, our souls, our innermost being, with labor. As I said to begin with, this is a spiritual book, and here is a confirmation of it. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Well, it's a pretty desperate situation, isn't it? You can imagine, can't you, naturally, being out and falling over and not able to get up, and there's no one there. Think of the case, can't we, what we term the Good Samaritan. When that man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, it would seem he was going in the wrong direction, and he fell among thieves. And you and I might be going in the wrong direction, in opposition to God. And we fall among thieves. The devil comes and robs us of that which we perhaps hoped we had, and perhaps leaves us half dead, virtually no life, just a little heartbeat perhaps, but not much more. And then people come along who we think might help. But one, they may not understand our case, and secondly, they may not be willing to help us. And they pass by on the other side, and we're left. We're forsaken and forlorn. And then comes the Good Samaritan. What did he do? He came where the man was. He came where he was. Bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. Well, pouring in the gospel into our hearts. That's what it really means. The Lord comes and pours the gospel into your heart. That will revive you. The darkness may be dispelled, not perhaps totally, but at least it will move. And then to think like that Good Samaritan, he took that poor man and put him on his own beast and took him to an inn and paid all that was necessary so that he was looked after. Well, again, think of the analogy, the great and glorious Saviour has paid the price for our redemption, has paid the price so that we might be healed of all our infirmities, that we might be made whole. And you see, it didn't cost this man anything. The Good Samaritan paid all that was necessary and said if there was anything else due, he would pay it when he came again. You might think, well, we continue, we do sin still. The price will be paid. And so here we have this case. There was none to help. None to help. So, what happened? What happened? Then. Not until then. Sometimes we have to come that far. Can be described as wit's end corner. We're tempted to virtually give up. Then they cried unto the Lord in the trouble, in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands in sunder. Deliverance. Oh, good news. Good news to the sinner who's been tied up, who's been in bondage. Freedom under the gospel. As the Saviour's come where they are. Well, you know whether that's true in your life. Whether perhaps you've been in darkness, perhaps gross darkness. The Lord's come where you are. He's come to you. He's found you. Found you in a desert land, just like he found Jacob, in a desert land. A vast, waste, howling wilderness. The Lord knew where Jacob was. He knows where you are. He knows where you are in your spiritual life. He's the only one that does. You might perhaps not really be able to describe yourself. The Lord knows. What a blessing it is that you and I can come to our God and confess exactly how we are. And perhaps we have to come and we have to come and we have to confess our sins. Yes, our backsliding, our enmity, our opposition. The promise is if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, what a glorious Saviour we have. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of all their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands in sunder. And so the psalmist goes on, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And it is a wonderful work of deliverance when the Lord comes and brings us out of darkness. And we have to confess, and are thankful to confess, that it's the Lord that has done it. The Lord had come and delivered our soul. There was the old devil. He thought he got us all trussed up in the prison house. But he couldn't hold us. He couldn't keep us there. Because the Lord had the key to open the door. And what was the key to open the door? The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That's the key to open the gate, to open the door of the prison house. The devil can't stop that happening. What a mercy it is if Jesus comes to us. He's brought us in the darkness, and now he brings us into the light of the gospel. And the light of the gospel shines forth very beautifully and gloriously in the face of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a mercy it is to realize that we have such a wonderful and glorious Saviour who does not deal with us as our sins deserve, but is full of mercy and compassion. The Apostle Paul tells us in the second epistle of Corinthians, the fourth chapter, from verse 5, "For we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness." Isn't that wonderful? See, God comes and commands his light, the glorious light of the gospel, to shine into our hearts. There was gross darkness, but the gross darkness had to give way to the glorious light of the gospel. And the only way and the only place which it shines is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're told here, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts." Again, come back to the truth. I said the Word of God is a spiritual book. It shines into our hearts, in our innermost beings. It shines out of the darkness and shined in our hearts. And this is what it does: to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Oh, you'll be thankful that the Lord brought you into darkness to bring you out into this glorious light. And you'll prove then the reality of real religion. Hezekiah was brought into a time of great sickness, and he was delivered out of it. And what did he say? "By these things men live, and all these things is the life of my spirit." You see, that's the reality of true religion. It's not a head knowledge, it's a heart knowledge. It's the work of the blessed Spirit of God to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And I think the next verse is very humbling, the seventh verse in this fourth chapter. "But we have this treasure," and my friends, it is a treasure, isn't it? Difference between light and darkness. To have this revealed to us, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, which is shown to us through what Christ has done. The light of the world shines into our heart, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Not of works, says the apostle when he wrote to the Ephesians, lest any man should boast. No, not of works. You and I couldn't produce it. By grace are you saved, through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Reason, is it not, to glorify this great and wonderful Saviour for revealing himself to us as that one who has atoned for all our sins. You see, you and I might be burden have you laden under a burden of sin? It may be rightly so. We may be cast down. We may be guilty indeed. But to realise the Saviour came into this world to save sinners. To save sinners, not the righteous, to save sinners. Well, if that's a suitable word, you can praise God for it. And it's therefore, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, just what we are, the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You know, Paul goes on to say, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Excuse me. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Well, my friends, can we and do we rejoice tonight in what Christ has done? Because here is the light. Here's the light that shines into our heart. Here's the light that brings deliverance. Here's that which the devil cannot stop, because it is the truth of God's word. And that's why we can say with Hezekiah, by these things men live. It's the path God ordains for the church of God. So they can't glory in themselves. They can't say, well, I've walked an upright life. I've lived a good and perfect life. I've set a wonderful example. Therefore, I deserve to have this glorious peace and light. No, we cannot do that. But we can give glory to God and tell the devil, Christ has died, yea, rather is risen again and is now seated on the right hand of the Father in glory, there to intercede for me. And then, you know, we can go further than that through the wonderful favour and blessing of Almighty God. And referring once again to the Gospel of John, where he opens the 14th chapter with Jesus speaking to his disciples in that upper room, and their wonderful words when he comes and says this, let not your heart be troubled. He was about to depart from his disciples. Let not your heart be troubled. It's a direction to all of us, is it not? Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Every born-again sinner who has been blessed with the light of the gospel shining into their hearts are partakers of this truth. I go and prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. It's a glorious truth, isn't it? To think the Lord has promised he will come again. He will receive us unto himself, that where he is, there we shall be also. And that will be permanent light. God is light. Permanent light in glory. No need of the sun. No more nighttime there. Eternal light. I was going to say permanent day, but the reality is there's no time, there's no night, there's no day. It's just permanent light in the glory of the presence of the Saviour. And with all the saints in glory. Well, it surely is a wonderful prospect to the church of God. And so if we perhaps feel today that we're in darkness, we can tell the devil, this is the prospect that I have. I believe the promises recorded in the Word of God. And you can tell the devil, the Lord has said, let not your heart be troubled. We may be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. And my friends, when the light of the gospel shines into our heart, there is a great light. It's a difference between darkness and light. And you will rejoice in it. You must rejoice in it. Because there the Holy Spirit reveals to us the wonderful evidence of God's love to such unworthy sinners. My friends, the light doesn't shine on those for whom Christ has not died and has not loved. It only shines into the heart of those who have been loved with an everlasting love. Oh, what a word that is, isn't it? Everlasting, from everlasting to everlasting. What a truth that is. You and me, utterly unworthy sinners of the earth, loved with this everlasting love. Well, tonight, if we're in darkness, if we're perhaps in deep darkness, may we recognize there is deliverance. The truth of God is sure. By the grace of God, we shall see that great light. We shall see the glory of it, and we shall rejoice in the glorious Saviour who tells us, I am the light of the world. Well, may we ponder and meditate upon these great truths and rejoice in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. To the glory of God. Amen.
God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Graham Hadley. Mr. Timothy Parrish will preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Bernard Burgess next Lord's Day. And our friends at Fenstanden hold Ascension Day special service on Thursday evening. Our closing hymn is number 1080. 1080. To Jesus, our victorious Lord, the praises of our lives belong. Forever be his name adored, sweet theme of every thankful song. Hymn 1080.
And may the grace of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, and the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Eternal Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.